This is Building Resilience Podcast, episode 170, Healing from Chronic Pain and Illness with guest Valerie Bogia. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Building Resilience Podcast. Now, recently, I have done a few episodes on chronic pain and illness. And as I said, I will continue to put more out there as it is so relevant for many of us and so related to the nervous system. And I decided today to bring on a guest who is a fellow Canadian coach who is just as passionate about healing chronic pain and illness as I am. So I wanted to talk with her about her own personal journey and some tips that she has for people. But before I tell you about her, I wanted to share, in case you've missed it, that I have a new way to work together. It is called Connections. It is a monthly membership for those who want to personally do the work to learn and befriend their nervous system and heal and really transform their life. I'm super excited about it. It's a mixture of video modules and live calls for your learning. There's live coaching, there's live support and connection calls, and there's going to be a bunch of bonus workshops. Now, I know many of you listening to the podcast are obviously interested in the nervous system, enjoy learning about it this way. Well, this is like taking it up another notch or a few more notches. It's like 10xing it because you'll learn how to apply what you've been learning here on the podcast, and you'll get coaching and you will find connection with other people. We heal in relationships. You've heard me talk about this over and over and over before. We don't heal alone. We are wired for connection. So you will get all that in the Connections membership. There's a link in the show notes to get more information. If you struggle with chronic pain and illness, this Connection membership will help you because we go to the root of the problem, which lies in your nervous system. So I hope to see you in there. All right, back to my special guest. Valerie Bogia is a dedicated and passionate mind-body life coach. She's a certified athletic therapist, the mother and stepmother of four beautiful daughters, and an entrepreneur whose purpose is to make a significant impact in the field of holistic health. She is also the founder and owner of Proactive Athletic Therapy in Carleton Place, Ontario. Valerie's clients not only benefit from her professional expertise, but also experience a sense of empowerment as they learn to take an active role in resolving their physical pain and symptoms. Valerie's dedication to transforming the lives of those not only struggling with chronic pain and migraines, but also those who want to feel empowered, healthier, and calmer in their everyday life. She has earned her reputation as a trusted and compassionate figure in the health and wellness community. Valerie's unique approach revolves around the integration of mind-body tools, harnessing the transformative power of thoughts and emotion. She firmly believes that addressing the root causes of pain involves more than just physical treatments. It requires a holistic understanding of the mind-body connection. Through personalized coaching sessions, she guides her clients on a journey of self-discovery, helping them to tap into their own innate healing capabilities. So you probably know why I wanted to talk with her, because we have so much in common. Our philosophies and our view on this holistic mind-body component is so important. So I hope you enjoy the interview. Welcome, Valerie. I am so happy to have you here, and I am so excited to talk with you about this topic. But before we jump into the topic, just if you could take a few minutes to just informally introduce yourself so the listeners can get a sense of who you are and what you're all about.
Yeah, thank you, Leah. I'm also very excited and honored to be on your podcast today. So my name is Valerie Bogia. I'm a certified life coach through the Life Coach School. I know you got certified through that school as well. But my specialty is mind-body. So I'm a mind-body coach. I'm also, my background is I've been a certified, or I'm still a certified athletic therapist. and have been for almost 17 years. So my background has been treating orthopedic injuries, anything related to acute sport or non-sport related injuries, chronic as well. So that has definitely my background. I'm a business owner. I own my brick and mortar business. I'm a mother and stepmother of four beautiful daughters. And I, discovered mind body through my own personal journey of chronic pain. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Well, that's so awesome. I'm excited to talk about it. And there's so many other connections too. You live just inside or outside of Ottawa?
Just outside of Ottawa on the west side. So I actually live in Armprior and my business is in Carleton Place.
Okay, perfect. So yes. I know a lot of my listeners are from the U.S. I always like to give a little Canadian education.
Yes.
Ottawa, the capital of Canada. It's about 5 hours away from where I live. I live in Toronto. And my two little boys go to Carleton University, which is in Ottawa. So very
That's great.
I was just there this past weekend, actually just visiting, stopping by to say hello on my way home from Montreal, because I have family in Montreal too. So this is a small, which I love bringing another Canadian on the podcast.
Yes.
Which I love talking about it. Kind of shows this is international stuff that we talk about. And I also love that you're a stepmom. I'm not sure I realize that you're also a stepmom in addition to being a mom. So
yes,
there's lots of things that we could talk about there. But I do want to talk about chronic pain, chronic illness. I love coming from the perspective, obviously, I'm a speech pathologist, so I came from a very mind perspective, very cognitive perspective. I work with people with traumatic brain injuries, obviously not their physical part of their injury. They usually have a team to work with them on that. So I come at it from their cognitive communication perspective. But I think we sort of intersect when it comes to the mind-body experience and starting to work with people who have, like a lot of my clients, have chronic pain, whether they've had the brain injuries or not. I work with a lot of people who have a lot of chronic pain. And chronic pain can come in all sorts of forms, as I've talked about previously on the podcast, you know, neck pain, back pain. These are typical pain that we think of, headaches, and then digestive. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit about your story, because I know that you had been struggling more in the realm of headaches and migraines and also GI issues. So I just wanted to share with people, when I talk about chronic pain and illness and how it's related to the nervous system, this is kind of the illness part and the pain part with headaches and so forth. But so if you could just share with us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you're right. When it comes to pain, we associate right away what people believe, that when we see abnormalities in the body, we think that that creates pain. And I know you've done a few podcasts on that, so it's fantastic. But yes, my story is quite interesting because I actually have been suffering with, I would say, tension headaches. It probably started for as long as I can remember. I would say probably back until I was in university. And then it really, really spiraled downwards after my divorce about 7 years ago. And it was, like most divorces, it's quite emotionally difficult. I've always been an entrepreneur, so there's a lot of pressure I would put on myself. You just gotta keep going, you know, even though I was experiencing a lot of contrast and difficulties on my personal side, business side, I still had to keep going. I had a team to manage. I had my kids. You still want to keep showing everything's going to be okay.
I've been there. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then I my symptoms got worse. My migraines became very debilitating. And then my GI issues became very debilitating. In fact, during the divorce period, I also got a diagnosis of melanoma, so skin cancer, on one of my breasts, of all places, which was very shocking to me because I thought, well, that never gets exposed to the sun. So how is that possible? And my second daughter was only 4 months old. So it was so challenging. I mean, you go through that surgery and trying to nurse at the same time. I was honestly that year just trying to survive.
Right.
And so once we got through that, then my GI issues got worse. I experienced a lot of bloating and pain. And then I went down the route of naturopath medicine, which was very helpful and enlightening. And there's a lot of celiac disease in my family. So it was assumed that perhaps I had an intolerance to gluten, even though all my tests became negative, we still assumed, and so did I. So I removed wheat, I removed dairy as well. And then I was told that eggs is a common food that can trigger migraines. And at that point, I was so desperate to find out the cause. My belief was there. I was like, you know what? I betcha that's what it is.
That's right.
And believe it or not, it did impact it positively to a certain degree. But then I still would experience some bouts of migraines. But then what my go-to was, well, I must have eaten something that had eggs in it and I wasn't aware.
That's right.
That was my experience. And now, looking back, I realized the whole placebo effect. I'm like, wow, our own placebo effect. We don't even realize it.
Yes.
So that's where my journey began. I discovered life coaching through Brooke's podcast. I fell in love with it. It helped me go through my personal experience. And then I really dove into mind-body medicine, read a ton of books and research, and asked myself, what if my migraines were a mind-body syndrome? Because no matter what I did, I mean, we had MRI, CT scan, nothing, there was no causes.
Right.
The potential diagnosis was, I was getting close to my 40s, it must be hormonal. Which is often another diagnosis.
Often what it is. And I do think it's important to mention, as I've done on the previous podcast, go get it checked. Like you need to have all the tests to rule things out. Never make the assumption that it's mind-body. Usually what happens is we rule out all the structural causes. And then if there is nothing, or you just get this generic label of, oh, you're getting older, it's hormonal, or for me, it's IBS or something. These are real labels per se. But the next step is we need to rule in the mind-body. How much is the nervous system involved? How much is stress a factor? How much is the communication with mind-body? How much has the brain learned these symptoms?
You're absolutely right. And that's where I was like, okay, that's when I started to question everything, because we had ruled out everything and medication, the strongest medication for migraines, didn't even work. And that's where I was like, okay, I'm not living my life like this. There's got to be a deeper reason. And sure enough, when I studied all this, I realized, wow, I went through a lot of emotional stressors. There was a lot of contrast, a lot of difficulties I went through. And although I didn't at the time realize that I was suppressing emotions, I mean, I'm French. I speak a lot. I'm very passionate. That's what my family tells me. And I have no problem sharing how I feel. So I assume because I can share my feelings, I don't suppress emotions. I sure do.
Wrong assumption. Yeah.
And this is where the whole behavioral, you know, personality traits comes in, because with some of the studying I've done, with a lot of Alan Gordon studies he's done, true, as well as common personality traits can be, or behavioral traits can be, triggers for chronic pain. So this is exactly what I discovered that I was experiencing. And through becoming aware of my beliefs around my diagnosis, around my pain, around even what I experienced or circumstantially, were causing emotions that were putting my brain into this high alert state, dysregulating my nervous system. Clearly, my body was trying to tell me this. And that's what I focused on. And completely healed now. I don't experience migraines anymore. And I don't experience IBS symptoms anymore. I now can eat eggs, wheat, dairy, you name it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I love that. So let's dive into it just a little bit more, because you touched on so many things that I want to circle back to. One of the things that you mentioned is that there were some common behavioral triggers of the chronic pain. You had mentioned personality, common personality traits, which I think is a big one. It's one that I probably am going to do a full podcast episode, upcoming episodes on it. And that's not to shame or blame people or for them to be thinking, oh, I caused this. But it is just to note we have certain patterns. And I know the way I share and teach my clients, a lot of our personality patterns are actually adaptations that we made from a very young place. So brilliant little Leah created an adaptation to survive in whatever it was she was going through. And it just continues on to the point that it ends up feeling like it is a personality trait, and it is the way that I function and the way that I work. And some of these personality traits, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. and it can trigger some of these symptoms. So we'll dive into that probably in a separate episode. But I want to play around with the other one that you mentioned, this idea about the limiting beliefs that you had and the limiting emotions that you have. And that ties really nicely into what we talk about with life coaching from a cognitive perspective as well, that what you choose to believe will impact your result, and which is sort of the placebo as well that you already mentioned. Believing that this was the cause, believing that this is the solution really has an impact. So can you share a little bit more about this idea of limiting beliefs and emotions about your diagnosis? How did that impact you?
Absolutely. So, and it is the number one thing I work with clients with their any of their pain or symptoms. The first thing we need to become aware is what they are. And sometimes for people, sometimes it can be hard to know what they are, because when you strongly believe about something, it becomes a fact to you, right? So like you said, your belief becomes your own reality. And so if you're diagnosed with a certain label, whatever that is, whether it has to do structurally an abnormality or an illness, like you said, then it's to become aware of what did you make that mean to you? When you look at your future, do you believe that you're going to now be restricted or limited to move a certain way or to be a certain way? Or now you can no longer do what you love doing anymore because that's just now becoming your normal or your truth? And so, like, for example, myself, when I was diagnosed with the migraines and possibly it was hormonal based, I did for a certain point believe, wow, I can't believe I'm in my 40s and this is now my life. Like, how am I going to cope with all of this? And so every decision I made was based on that belief. Same with my IBS issues, because I was no longer able to eat eggs and wheat and dairy. When I went to restaurants, I mean, oh my gosh, it put a lot more fear, right? And worry. And so it only emphasized those fear-based emotions, which we know through science is the emotion that will perpetuate chronic pain.
That's right.
And believing that you're now the diagnosis, if you kind of make it your own identity, then that's where it completely changes your life.
And I will say that when somebody has a diagnosis, what I've seen is there's often a sense of relief and there's some validation. Yes. And I think it's because in society, we kind of make it so that if you don't have a diagnosis, then people feel like, well, it's not real or you don't believe me. So getting a diagnosis can have this sense of, oh, I feel validated. It's something real. Yes. And I think we kind of have to lose that idea that when you have symptoms, your symptoms are always real. Getting the diagnosis doesn't make it real. Mm-hmm. Getting a diagnosis, as you said, sometimes it can be helpful. It can be helpful for lots of reasons, that maybe you require certain treatments, or maybe you require certain accommodations, or maybe you require, for insurance purposes, they need a diagnosis. Diagnosis can be helpful for those things. Mm-hmm. But I think that we don't want diagnosis to be the way that we validate what we're experiencing. Like, if you are experiencing symptoms, they are real symptoms. If you have pain, it's real. If you have GI issues, it's real. If you have a headache, it's real. What we want to look at is what is the root? What is behind these things? And sometimes the diagnosis, you can get a diagnosis, but it's still like for you, initially you could have a diagnosis, but it's still not the root of what the problem was. So we have to be careful that the diagnosis doesn't always tell us. Sometimes it does, but when it's mind-body, often what can happen is we get the diagnosis, we have this sense of relief, we feel validated, and then we're on a mission to either, you know, fix it based on the diagnosis. Or sometimes people are just saying like, oh, I can't do that because of my diagnosis, or I can't do that because of my diagnosis. So it becomes very, very limiting.
It's such a great point. And to add to that, what I have found as well is we have a medical system, and it's been like this for years. Well, we're as professionals, and you would know that as well, we are all trained within these parameters. And as patients and human beings, it's almost like we have this innate belief that we have zero control over our body, or this belief that our body has no capability of healing itself. So I think this is where I would really encourage people to start asking, even though you get these diagnoses, and then you're probably recommended with the treatments, what to do, right? So for example, with physical, well, then you need to go see a therapist to help you and get exercise and whatnot. But what if, instead of continuously looking externally for the solution, what if we take a moment and really assess and do some introspection and just look at yourself and be like, what am I feeling here? What is really truly going on that could be, you know, the message my body's trying to tell me? Like, this is how powerful our body is. And we do have the capability with our beliefs and our emotions to heal our body 100%. And there's enough scientific evidence to prove this. We just need to become aware of it, and we just need to allow it to come, right? Because if you're continuously just putting that responsibility on doctors, massage therapists, physiotherapists, athletic therapists, you know, you name it, then it takes that empowerment away from you and that sense of agency to take over also, right, or to gain some of that responsibility, which is so powerful.
Yeah. And I think you're also right when you talk about sort of as a system, we fuel that because obviously we throw labels on things. We require, you know, insurances require labels. Or I even look at, I've been in, same with you, in more of a regulated healthcare profession. So when I meet with clients, you know, what is the first question I'm asking them is usually, how was your week? And so what happens is the focus then becomes on the symptoms and the illness and the challenges. And it's always something I feel I'm torn about because I want to know what their challenges are. But at the same time, I know and I recognize that by asking them on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your pain? On a scale of this, where is that? It forces them to stay focused on the symptoms.
Right.
And so, and then when I'm in the session with them, my recommendations are to, you know, let's not focus on the symptoms so much. Let's turn and focus on these things. So it becomes a bit of a catch-22 for them. And I do feel for patients as the community, the healthcare community, we sort of are teetering as well on, we have this scientific information over here. How do we learn about the symptoms without reinforcing and validating the diagnosis? And it becomes very, very chaotic inside dealing with health.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can become very confusing. And sometimes too, what I've experienced is because we're so used to thinking on the pragmatic side, right, with our conventional system, it's all about, okay, physical diagnosis. Let's do all the testing to see the actual structure of the body, the mechanics. What is the problem? That is our go-to all the time. Whereas the mind-body part includes your thoughts, your beliefs, your assumptions, your emotions. It's not like we shift and we negate the physical part. It's a combination.
Exactly.
And that's what's so important to realize. It's not to invalidate what is going on physically, but what if what is going on physically had nothing to do with your symptoms? Imagine the possibilities now. It just gave me that sense of almost like freedom, right? And hope. Because all of a sudden you're like, wow, okay, I've been doing this for so long, getting physical treatments, nothing is working. Then what if I tap into my emotions? Because people aren't aware that when we, like the word emotion is energy in motion. This is science. This is physics. It is energy that is meant to move in our body. And when we talk about suppressed emotions, it's emotions that really are stagnant in your body somewhere. Mm-hmm. And like you would know, the expert of nervous system, right? It tells you what's going on.
Yeah, the danger signals. It's lights on. There's something going on. Yeah.
So one of the tactics or approach I will use to help my clients become aware of where they're at emotionally is there's two main emotions we live by every single day. It's either fear-based emotions or love-based emotions. Mm-hmm. And so when I ask, well, how, when you wake up every day and you assess your day, if you look at even this past week, where do you think you're, like every day when you're taking action, is it fear-based or love-based? And a lot of times people think, well, I'm never afraid, so it's definitely not fear, but hold on a minute. Fear-based emotions comes, there's lots of superficial layers that'll come through. So anger, frustration, self-doubt, anxiety, self-criticism. That was my biggest thing. A lot of self-judgment, self-criticism that creates that fear inside you.
That's right.
So it's to become aware of what's your dominant feeling every day. And that will tell you a good, it'll give you a good indication of what your nervous system probably is in stuck, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I use it with my clients. I say, are you wrapping it in like a bubble wrap of fear or danger? Or are you wrapping it in a bubble wrap of safety? And usually it's when you have, I mean, we know that things aren't so binary, but when you have something simple like that, what is that leaning towards? Fear or leaning towards love? And it gives you our danger and safety. And it gives you the idea of where you're at. And when you are starting your day or living your life wrapped in danger, chances are you're going to have a lot more symptoms and they're going to be amplified versus, you know, it's not to say that when you're wrapped in the safety and the love that we don't ever get symptoms. Life is up and down. You are going to go through different challenging times, but I think it definitely leans us in one direction or the other.
And that's so good, the analogy you use. I like that very much because, I mean, personally, I look back when I was experiencing those symptoms at my worst time, I realize, my personality trait is definitely on the perfectionism side and a bit of people pleasing, but it was just one of those, you know, I've been brought up just, you just keep going, you work hard, you just got to do. It's very much in the masculine energy.
Yeah.
And then when you experience that, when you really think about it, there's a sense of control, right? It's like you want to feel in control of your life, but that really comes from fear because that means there's no faith. Right. Not trusting yourself. You're not trusting what is meant to be is going to happen.
Yeah.
And exactly. So just that is stems from a feeling of fear. So being like this every single day at all times definitely puts your brain in high alert.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to go back and touch on when you were saying we're not negating the physical. We're including the emotions and the thoughts. And I loved how you worded that. And it reminded me of something that Dr. Howard Schubiner, who's a big pioneer and researcher in this area, and he meets with people. And one of the things he said is a lot of physicians, he's a physician himself, they will meet with clients and the clients will come and they'll list off all their symptoms. And then, you know, as he said, you make the test, you make the diagnosis. What is different and what he advocates for is we also need to be asking them, what was going on in your life when this happened and what your past experiences have been. And when you have a whole picture where you're including the thoughts and the emotions, that may change what you're going to make the diagnosis of. And I love when you mentioned that because we're not saying it's one or the other. We're saying to have an accurate, we have to look holistically at the person. What's going on physical? Yes, often those are just like the signals. This is to get your attention. Pain is a great way and symptoms a great way to get you to pay attention. And it's often as more of a last resort. There's probably been other little symptoms that have been knocking at your door, but you know, in your busyness of life, you just, okay, push it aside. Whereas pain and some symptoms arrive and they're like, yeah, you're not gonna skip over me this time. Mm-hmm. But then turning to what else is going on here? Is this something that is what kind of stresses in your life? What kind of adversities? What's happened in your life previously? All these things to be considered to form that overall picture, which means when we do treatment, that we have to also be treating it holistically and not just treating the physical, but also treating what's going on emotionally and thought-wise and their beliefs. Because that's really going to impact their ability to make headways in recovery.
It is so good what you just said. And I mean, I see it every day with my clients and even in my clinic when we treat injuries. Is, for example, there's one client right now that pops into my head about this. And he's super young and he's in mid-30s and he's already had a hip replacement. But he has experienced physical symptoms and pain from hips back, knees, you name it, and went through the whole realm of testing and the typical route that we all do. And then, but again, nobody's asked or paid attention to what has gone through his life. And when we dove into that, well, it was so interesting to hear that he had lost his mother a year prior to all of his symptoms really starting. And that's when it kind of went downhill. And even though he felt he coped and grieved well and he was fine, there was still some beliefs and emotions that were very much wrapped around that circumstance, but also impacted every day with his work and whatnot. So it is so important. Like you said, it's about looking at both the body, the mind, the emotions, because without the mind and the emotions, we wouldn't really honestly have a functional body. And there's enough science showing that our emotions impact and our beliefs impact our emotions, and our emotions impact our at the cellular level of our body. It impacts our immune system. It impacts our blood, our cells, the genetics, everything. So it's so powerful. But you're right. When you experience the symptoms, I would encourage people to, instead of right away going to that fear-based of, uh-oh, what's going on? There's something wrong going on. I got to get looked at. And that panic comes in. What if we looked at, okay, well, what is my body trying to tell me right now? What's going on emotionally? What am I experiencing? Doesn't have to be the day of. It can even be the week prior or the month prior. Is there a lot of stress going on?
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that, not getting, and that's hard to do, obviously. And that's where I think we do need to sort of rewire what our reactions are. But we also know, if you think of anxiety, when people experience anxiety, often what trips you up is the anxiety about the anxiety. And you'll have a feeling in your body of anxiety. The body and the brain want to be aligned. So the body's like, the brain's like, oh, what's going on in the body? I feel anxious. So it seeks to create the stories to find the reasons why the body's feeling that way. And then we just get stuck in this vicious loop. Noticing the symptoms, and instead of that judgment and that fear-based criticism, turning to it as sort of that curiosity of the scientist. Oh, I wonder what else is happening in my life. What is the symptom trying to tell me? Still providing yourself with lots of love and compassion, but trying to avoid that wrapping in danger, but turning rapid in safety. What is it trying to tell me here? Am I doing too much? Is this similar to something else that I've ever experienced? Is this a signal to slow down? Mm-hmm. Is this a signal I need to focus on some of my fundamental things like my sleep and my nutrition and getting sunlight, going back to some basics? I think it can also be a signal of what's happening in the world. Am I really immersed in some chaos? Am I constantly glued to my phone, my computer, back-to-back meetings? Am I really engaged in this high-pressure society, watching the news all the time? There's so many different things that maybe individually it's not making a difference, but when you pile on little things on top of little things on top of little things, all of a sudden that's when, your body's trying to communicate with you. And as what I always say, your nervous system is always talking to you. You just need to listen to it.
So good. And one of the tools I, like you said, sometimes when you're so caught up into that, it can be very difficult to remove that focus or to shift that focus. One of the practices I encourage my clients to do at first is let's try and shift your focus to gratitude, right? Like you said, because we're so caught up in our everyday life and things are so busy, we forget to pay attention to what really is good in our life. And about yourself, you sent the word self-compassion and self-love and self-acceptance. It is so crucial when it comes to chronic pain recovery. That busyness of life can foster that unawareness of self-care, right? Which is so crucial. And when we talk about self-care, we assume, I mean, that's what I was doing during my worst times. I was exercising, eating well. I mean, physically, I was definitely taking care of myself. Emotionally, no, not at all. And we often forget that part. Yeah. And that's where mindfulness, gratitude comes in.
Right. And I also think the energy that we do things, because sometimes I will have clients, this is actually quite common for a lot of my clients who have experienced a brain injury. They'll say to me, Leah, I'm doing everything that everybody tells me to. I'm exercising exactly 30 minutes. I'm doing all my physio exercises. I'm reading for 15. I'm doing this, doing this, doing this. I'm doing everything perfectly and it's not helping. And it's hard for me to say, ooh, how do you need to stop doing all those things? Because it's what is fueling it, that energy. We want to be doing self-care. We want to take care of ourselves. But when we do it from the energy of, I have to, it has to be perfection. I've got to figure this out. I'm taking care of myself. Actually, all we're doing is we've made self-care something that is triggering our nervous system into a hyperactive state. Our self-care can trigger the stress response, or our doing everything for rehab or doing everything, following the protocol exactly, can actually trigger activation in our nervous system. So it will work against us. So it's not just what we do, it's really the energy from where we do it from.
All about the energy. And you said it. I have a mentor and a coach, and her name is Kathleen Cameron. And that's her thing. It's all, she's actually a manifestation queen. She, for her, she coaches you how to attract what you desire and what you want in life. And believe it or not, we all do it. Nobody's aware of it, but we all do it. But it stems from energy. And that's what I realized when I did this work for myself, is that intensity you just explained, that urgency to want to fix things and to make sure things are going the way it should be in your life. You want to feel in control, was all masculine. And when we say masculine, it's not, has nothing to do with, you know, it's just more the doing part, the action taking. And that's what I was, that's how I lived my life every single day. And that was 100% fear-based. It was 100% worry, fear-based. So when I decided, when I was taught to just pause, take a moment and really tune into my body, and it's okay to sit and read a book that has nothing to do with my work or what I'm teaching. It's okay to say no, that you don't want to do something, that you want to do for other people, that you want to take care of yourself emotionally. So it was a big shift, but it is so doable. And it is so impactful once you're able to balance those two energies.
Very important. And I think the energy work is so important when we're doing with a chronic pain and illness, because when we are in this regiment of, I have to figure this out, I have to fix this, it does keep us activated, keeps us in the stress response. I use the analogy with my clients of my husband bringing me flowers. The action of him bringing me flowers would be great, although he knows not to bring me. I'm not a flower person, I'm a chocolate person. But he knows if he shows up with flowers and is just like, here's your flowers, I knew you'd be ticked off if I didn't get them to you, for you for Valentine's Day, versus I want to get her flowers because I love her, I know she loves these flowers, it's going to make her day. The act is the same of him arriving with flowers. The energy is dramatically different. And don't be fooled. I would be able to tell very quickly if he was giving me flowers because of like, here's the flowers. I know that you're going to be mad if I don't give them to you, versus like, I saw these. I thought of you. Brings me so much joy. Here's your flowers. Like, you feel that energy. Your body feels that energy. Your nervous system feels that energy. So when we go at trying to quote unquote solve things, if we go with this mandate, I have to figure this out, we're literally sending messages of danger to our brain. Oh my gosh, she has to figure this out because this is a matter of life or death. Yeah. Versus, I am curious about this. What's going on? What can I do for myself that is going to be compassionate, that is going to be kind, that is going to feel inspiring and uplifting? A whole different energy. One is going to help calm me and regulate me. One is going to jack me up into survival mode.
So, so powerful, because, and that's exactly how I feel now every time I experience symptoms, or I still will get some pressure. I call it more like a headache pressure-y. What happens, my reaction or my go-to is right away, interesting. What am I experiencing right now? What is my body trying to tell me? As opposed to, oh my God, here we go. I got to fix it. I'm stressed. I got to do something to calm myself down. It's like telling someone who's yelling at you, can you just calm down? It just makes it worse.
Relax, just relax. Nobody in the world has ever relaxed by somebody yelling at them to relax, which is essentially what we're doing to ourselves.
To ourselves. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I could keep talking with you about this over and over and over. So thank you so much. I think there's a lot of good take-home lessons here, especially this last one of really talking about the energy and really the idea of your beliefs about your emotions, your beliefs about your diagnosis, your beliefs in your ability to bring healing to yourself. Mm-hmm. We're not saying to ignore the physical. We're saying that you need to include your thoughts and your emotions with the physical. It needs to be sort of a holistic approach. And what is the energy that you're taking towards the holistic approach? So do you have any final things that you just want to throw out there, little nuggets for anybody to take away?
Oh, there's so many. You know, I honestly, I think would say that if you can start being open to the possibility that your pain can actually go away and that your body is actually stronger than you think it is, just try and shift your perspective a little bit. If you notice, you tend to want to go to the negative parts, to focus on what you cannot do versus what you can do. I would say to just start every day to question yourself, to question your belief, and to trust that your body is way more powerful than we think, and to trust your ability, like you said, to heal yourself. But it's to just simply, when it comes to the medical part, is to include your mind and your emotions, your beliefs and your emotions in your whole, I guess, treatment. See, yeah. I don't really like the word treatment because I find it's negative, but in the recovery, it's like that healing journey, right?
The transformation.
Yeah,
the journey. Yeah. And in with that, I'll just also add, surround yourself with people who will support that.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with those that you feel a connection with that are maybe on their own healing journey. I think it's very powerful to know that healing heals in relationships, healing heals when we're connected. So I think that's the power of finding a coach, finding people to support you, because sometimes we are feeling like we're doing it alone. Mm-hmm. And again, when we're in alone, it often, we feel like we're in a stress response and we'll get activated because it does trigger, or deactivated, does trigger, you know, the loneliness, the helpless, the hopelessness. So we want to find as much support as possible. So speaking of that, where can people find you?
You can follow me on social media. I am on both Facebook and Instagram. If you type in Valerie Beaulieu, my last name is Beaulieu, Mind Body Coach. You can follow. I've got some great tips and advice on things that people can do every day. And then I own Proactive Athletic Therapy, which is an athletic therapy clinic in Carleton Place. If you go on the website, Proactive Athletic Therapy, there is the chronic pain program, which is what I do in my program. So you can also reach me there.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your story, sharing your wisdom, for the work that you're doing, putting out in the world. And I really appreciate having you here.
Thank you, Leah. Same. I really appreciate it and I'm very honored to be on your podcast.
Awesome. Awesome. Have a great week, everyone. I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.